your home for C, 44 isn't too late to start my second career, semi-live from A Studio, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hey, guy.
I'm still older than him.
You still feel older than Philip Rivers, actually. You know, you guys are, he is a pro athlete. You are.
Well, he was a pro athlete. Is he still?
He's still, and he comes back. Yes.
He passed the physical.
He did. Yeah, he is a pro athlete. He's officially, if you guys aren't real aware of what we're talking, I can't believe we're leading with such a random piece of sports nugget, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, Philip Rivers. Philip Rivers was was the first round draft pick by the Chargers way, 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 way back.
Many moons.
I mean, he was drafted in the same year as Eli Manning. He was drafted got to the Chargers his rookie year.
2004.
In 2004. And he had himself, I would say, a B-plus to A-minus long career, almost entirely for the Chargers. Like a lot of quarterbacks, especially in the last couple, 2-3 years, they start to move around. They find some team for a year or something. Philip Rivers played his last year or so for the Indianapolis Colts. He was kind of a fill-in, kind of substitute, sort of late season. Oh, man, we need a quarterback. So the Colts signed him.
Really?
And he did okay, and he retired at the end of the year. That was 5 years ago. Philip Rivers is a high school football coach. He's the head coach for a really good team. His son is a college-level quarterback for that team. Philip Rivers is now an NFL quarterback again.
Are they taking him officially off the practice squad?
He is. I mean, I can put him on my fantasy roster. We can put him on our fantasy roster. So
off the practice
that
squad.
Philip Rivers was signed again by the Colts this week when Daniel Jones, their reclamation project, their starting quarterback, who's played at least B-plus football pretty much all year. Colts are first in the division. They're 8-3. They're as good as the Packers are. Well, they've signed Philip Rivers because Daniel Jones blew his Achilles last week.
Yep.
And their rookie, they drafted a guy in the sixth round. He's got a knee injury, Riley Leonard from Notre Dame, maybe something like that. So Philip Rivers is in line.
And also Anthony Richardson's also.
And I forgot about Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson was a top five pick a couple
healthy,
of years ago.
He'd probably go in.
You'd think if he was healthy and functional as a quarterback that they would look around to him in the room.
Healthy.
He broke an orbital bone in his face during preseason. I don't know how long of an injury that is. I don't know how long that keeps you from contact or throwing a football or studying a playbook. But apparently Anthony Richardson is not the answer. Philip Rivers is the answer. Some fun nuggets about Philip Rivers. 44 years old, which is that's my age. So good on him for staying in the kind of shape. He's got 8 kids. He is a grandparent. His oldest that he had in college is a grandparent.
Does
so
that
Philip
scare
Rivers.
You by way
no,
a little bit?
I'm not Philip Rivers. My kids aren't in. No, we're not doing that. That's bad math. So Philip Rivers is. It tells you just how hard it is to find a quarterback. Like, there are so many.
But there's a little under. There's an underlying reason on why they called him.
Yep. The head coach for the Colts, Shane Steichen, and Philip Rivers developed a really good relationship when they worked together. As you know, they're near the same age. Philip Rivers was kind of trying to understand how to be a coach because he is now. They use in high school. They've been using the last 2 years the same offense as the Indianapolis Colts have been using.
Yep.
Shane Steichen and Philip Rivers have been communicating. They say weekly.
They're friends.
About how to be. What the offense looks like. I cannot imagine the advantage that these high school kids have when your coach is a former NFL quarterback who's getting mainline information from a head NFL coach who's very successful. So, you know, I love a good, is it a comeback? Yeah, it's amazing that a guy can still have
it. He plays the next 4 games and becomes comeback player of the year.
You know, Flacco did it a couple of years ago. He saved a team. And, you know, if Philip Rivers can get into the playoffs, that's a pretty cool story.
He knows the offense. He's got familiarity.
Sure.
You know, the only downside would be kind of that timing that you kind of have to get with the receivers.
And I would assume that whatever got him out of the league 5 years ago probably isn't better now. Let's say it's arm strength or physical strength, stamina. He's 5 years older. Maybe your body heals a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's also just four games. So he's got a month to basically play winter camp football with his buddies for a month and maybe a playoff run. That was really, really interesting to me as a sports.
I heard it. At first thing I heard it, I was like, I laughed. I'm like, this has got to be a joke. And then all of a sudden it popped everywhere else.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's pretty remarkable. What else happened in the NFL that was not Packer or Viking related for you? What did you see?
I didn't see anything else.
Shedeur Sanders. I'll give you one.
Oh, yeah. I actually watched that game a little bit. He
looks like an NFL quarterback.
He should have been there instead of Dylan Gabriel. Five games.
It's interesting because he was drafted in the fifth round after they had drafted a quarterback in the third round, which tells you he wasn't the coach's choice, because if he was the coach's choice, he would have been there in the third round. And he outplayed Dylan Gabriel in the starts that he's had. Dylan Gabriel had a concussion, so Shedeur Sanders took his spot. This is his third game. His first two went marginal. He's won.
He's a rookie.
He's a rookie, and he had his best game as a pro out of three. Threw for 350 yards.
Do you watch Monday Night Football?
I do, yeah.
Did you watch it last night, or on Monday?
Yeah.
He won the Hemi.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, he looks good. It's interesting that you hear a lot of odd back chatter with a fifth-round rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
There's more noise. He's being talked about more than the quarterbacks that were drafted in the first round. He outplayed Cam Ward, who was the number one pick. He outplayed him, and his team won.
Right.
He will not probably get a chance after this season to be the starter because the Browns have two first-round picks.
Or they might. I mean,
or if he really blows the roof off the doors, maybe you try it for one more year.
At least.
But he's looked legit. He runs the offense. He's got...
Because he's a... You would think...
His dad, Deion Sanders, was one of the most athletic... One of both athletic athletes in all of pro sports. He was baseball and football amongst the fastest, most dynamic athletes on the
field.
But he's
a pocket passer.
He's 100% is.
He scrambled a couple times. You're like, okay, he's all right.
He's got NFL quarterback legs. Like he's nimble enough. He can, but he looked really good.
He's confident. He knows what he can do.
Yeah.
And he just needed the chance.
I root for players with some moxie, man. I like that Baker Mayfield. I like that chip on your shoulder. I like that
nine.
We're going to get it done.
You want nine?
Yeah. But like a good version of nine. Yeah. It doesn't need to be false bravado.
And that's what Shedeur completely is.
At the beginning of his career, he was talking like he was going to be great. And he hadn't done anything.
Right.
And now he's still talking like he's going to be great, but he's playing.
He's talking better, though.
Yeah.
I've been hearing interviews from more than like, in the preseason.
Sure.
And it was, now he's like, hey, I just want to improve. I gotta do better and this and this and this. And he's saying the right things.
When you go from being an all-pro, all-world in high school and college.
When your dad is a Hall of Famer.
And your dad is a Hall of Famer with a big old mouth. You're going to talk. You're going to learn to talk and get bluster before you're good.
Yeah.
My guess is that being around guys like Myles Garrett, being around real pros, has sort of made him learn. Yeah. Like, this is how you got to treat. This is how you got to treat this like a job. So that's been a cool storyline for a team like Cleveland, who has just been inept, beyond inept, embarrassing for the league in general over the last 5 years. It's nice to see a good thing happen for them
instead of Deshaun Watson,
not Josh Gordon.
Saying
not
he's coming back.
No, see, that's just it. That guy. I don't want to talk about Deshaun Watson. I'd like to reach a stage in my sports knowledge where I just forget that he was an athlete. I'm great with that. That guy's a bag. you want to talk about things that are fun?
Like,
how'd your Vikings do this week?
They won.
That's not as exciting as I thought you'd be.
They won. And they looked great.
There you go. They
shut out the Washington.
They shut
Commanders.
Out a team that was in the NFC Championship last year.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
No, clearly. I mean,
it doesn't matter.
No, you're right. You're right. You are who you are. You are what your record is. Washington has a worse record this year
than
Minnesota.
But it was fun because, A, all the analysts that do all the predicting, and there wasn't anybody that was saying that Minnesota was going to win.
That's fair. I mean, there's Minnesota. You've watched a lot of Minnesota games.
Yeah,
they haven't been
They've been off.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just
injuries. I mean, really, injuries galore. And I hate to, but, you know, when your backups aren't that great.
Right. Yeah.
And you spend that kind of money to get the starters, and they haven't been there. Sunday, they were clicking. One thing I heard was in an interview prior to last Sunday was Kevin O'Connell and JJ had a conversation about, let's make this simple. Stop overthinking. He's overthinking it.
Which is funny because, I mean, you have a job. You have a boss. It doesn't seem like... It seems like if you had a problem with confidence and ability, that it wouldn't take a... Nobody would have to mark it on the calendar that we talked about your... You'd think that would be a daily thing that your boss would be like, hey, man, how's things going? What can we do to get some...
It's some, you know, but it must have been an official talk. That's what they said.
Okay.
I think it was O'Connell going, listen...
No, you're right. Because once you release it out into the media, you are making sure that that player hears about it in a circle. You're going to hear it from me. You're going to hear it from the radio, your fans. I mean,
whatever they said, it worked.
Sure.
Because he looked sharp.
Because he was – his numbers weren't overwhelming, but you know what he didn't have?
Interceptions
or fumbles.
No
or,
dumb plays.
Right. It's that's all it takes, honestly. That's what Darnold did correctly last year.
Just play the game you played in Michigan.
Sure.
I think some of a lot of it's JJ. I think some of it's been on coaching. I don't think we're going to have the same OC next year.
Do you think that, because he's had up and down, up and down, up and down. He hasn't had a couple 2-3 weeks in a row.
We'll see.
To be consistent.
That's why I'm not excited yet. It looks great. It was good to have a win. Defense looked, Van Ginkel had an interception almost.
And again, would you trade wins for lower draft number? Like, let's say you got 5 wins.
Yep.
You could be at 5-12. That could get you a top 6 pick.
No.
5? You know, somewhere no. Somewhere in the neighborhood?
No.
Are you just kind of stuck
no,
in
no,
the 10?
No, 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 no. I looked.
Okay.
We'd be at number 12 or 11 or 12 at this point.
So you want to win because you'd rather win, build success and confidence with
yes,
your quarterback
at this point,
than get the 19th pick in the draft. Let's say
I
you
really
finish.
I'm surprised to see there's 10 other teams that much, you know?
I mean, we listed a lot of those.
Yeah,
there's some awful play in the NFL. But, and I don't know if it's lack of quarterback. I don't know if it's a schematic thing. I don't know if it's the film study is so good that there are no... I don't know what it is, but if you look at the teams that have the worst record, there are no surprises on that list. Every team that we thought was going to be bad at the beginning of the year is bad.
Oh, Bengals.
I don't think they were going to be good. That's a team that has struggled with injuries and getting old and mismanagement of their cap for long enough where, nope, I figured that's a team that's one injury away, and they've had a bunch. They had Joe Burrow and Trey Hendrickson, their best offensive, best defensive player, out for a long time. That's a team that deserves to be as where their record is at. The Saints are really bad. They don't have a quarterback. The Raiders are really bad.
I think they got a quarterback. He's just got to grow.
I you know how my belief, he's a 25-year-old rookie quarterback. I got no confidence that they're going to get it right.
How about your Cardinals?
It's a fire.
Do you want to talk about this now, or do you want to talk about your Packers instead?
I'd rather talk about the Packers, because my Arizona Cardinals are a team that, as much as I really liked, I grew up watching Jake Plummer and David Boston and really random, obscure Andre Wadsworth.
Kurt
Warner got me one play away from a Super Bowl victory. But since then, that team has been completely and utterly forgettable in both draft pick and management and everything and talent. No, I'd rather talk about the Packers, because the Packers are good. The Packers are debating.
At least the last couple of weeks.
That's all I'm... You know, you're as good as your record, right? Like, Green Bay is sitting at 9-3-1.
No.
I believe.
Yes.
Puts them, if not the top, right near the top.
The other top right now, they're ahead of the Bears.
They beat the Bears. I mean, you beat the Bears by a touchdown. I think if that game would have gone, not to say if there's 5 quarters in that game, the Packers were about to lose that game, because they were getting closer and closer and closer, and that pick at the end was a pretty darn good throw, but also very well coached on the defense. You could see that they were ready for that play. And Keyshawn Nixon made the play exactly right. They are what their record is, right? They are losing that game to the Browns, losing that game to Carolina. Carolina's a pretty okay team. They lost to Cleveland. You start to sort of understand it,
because
they had a real defense, and the Packers you know,
it doesn't matter. The Rams are going to win everything anyway.
You know, the Rams, again, that's one of those stories where the Rams went from Super Bowl to bottom to Super Bowl contenders. That's pretty good. That's the same thing that the Chiefs are doing. Yeah. That's the same thing that
Chiefs are out.
And that's the same thing that Green Bay did for a number of years, where they just keep stacking 10 and 12 wins together.
So your schedule, Broncos at the Bears, Ravens at Packers, and the last game of the year is the Viking-Packers. Broncos, are you going to win that one?
No. Broncos are legit. Yes. You're going to sweep the Bears this year.
Are you?
I believe it.
No.
I mean, we make fun of the Bears for a reason. They're kind of like the Cubs or the Twins or the Timberwolves, or where they're just not gonna win. There's gonna come up with some reason where they're gonna finish.
Or they might start.
Maybe, but I mean, you've been a Timberwolves fan for a while. When they start, they're still not great. But I think that, you know, as good
Ravens,
as
Ravens, yeah, you'll
that's
win.
A win. That last one at the end, I
don't know.
That's the trap game for me. That honestly, I think they could.
And it's home for Minnesota,
and it may mean more to some of the Vikings players. Like, I mean, if Kevin O'Connell goes loss, you could be.
Minnesota has a 1% chance of getting into the playoffs.
1%. So you're saying there's a chance? But I think on paper, that last game on either Sunday or Saturday at the end of the year. I feel like the Packers could end this at 2-2. You know, like you're going to win 11 and you're going to go 11-6-1. You're going to be a 3 seed. You should win this division.
Should.
There's a lot of should in there. Jalen Reed came back. The only issue I have with the Packers, and it will start playing itself up now in the mud and slop and cold part of the season, their run defense, surprise, surprise, missing Kenny Clark and missing DeAndre Wyatt, their first-round pick from a couple years ago, you and I could run for 100 yards against the Packers. They are not impressive on their pass defense is phenomenal. Micah Parsons is getting after the quarterback like nobody's business, but nobody is standing around stopping a running back from running. The linebackers have been making a lot of 7 yards down the field tackles.
Yeah.
They've been facing a lot of 2nd-and-3, 2nd-and-4. Puts you behind the sticks. And in a playoff game, a team like San Francisco will just run it on you all day. Detroit will just say, okay, you can't stop the run. We're going to run it 44 times. They have done it. These are teams in the playoffs that are comfortable. Carolina, a team that beat Green Bay, if they win the NFC South, that's a team that can run it 40 times for 200 yards and can sneak out a win.
Rams, San Francisco.
Same deal. Any of these teams that they're facing in the playoffs, Chicago, they can run the ball as much better than the Packers can defend it. That will become a problem. That's why I think against a team like Baltimore or a team like the Broncos, who run a lot and play a lot of play action, you're going to see some holes in this team. But, you know, we're getting the quarter. We're hitting the last quarter, right? We're
4 games left.
4 games left. So we'll have to start kind of wrapping up what we thought of the season here at some point. What other random things happened to you in sports? Nothing?
I'm pretty much been out of commission.
Attaboy. So
I just really wasn't paying attention to anything. Other than I watched...
I got you.
No, I got. Oh. I did watch the college...
Oh, the playoff selection show. That's on my list.
I watched that. Notre Dame, we're crying babies little bit.
I have that circled also. Notre Dame is crybabies. Yeah. Yep.
Other than that, go ahead.
Notre Dame has opted for the last million years. They've been offered to enter the Big Ten, the Big East, all ACC, Big 12. All these conferences have said, hey, Notre Dame, we know you're the biggest thing in college. Come to us. Notre Dame has a couple things. They're an independent, so they pick their schedule, kind of, sort of. They've got such an established here's who we play every year list. They play Michigan. They play Pitt. They play USC. They play, I don't know, some other teams, Stanford. They play teams that aren't good. They played Wisconsin a couple years ago. Notre Dame was somewhere in the midst of the 10th to the 15th best team in the country in the rankings all year. The top 12 make the playoffs. Notre Dame lost. They lost head-to-head to, I believe it was Miami this year. Miami was chosen over Notre Dame. Alabama, which has a history of winning championships.
They're also a three-loss team.
Notre Dame has two. Notre Dame was held out of the college playoffs. They were kind of deemed to be the 13th out of 12 best teams. So Notre Dame took their ball and went home and decided they are not going to play in any bowl games this year,
yep.
even though they would be, you know, the number one pick for any bowl game.
Yeah.
It's Notre Dame caused this. They have been offered a chance to be in a conference with the Big Ten. They could have been playing Ohio State instead of Indiana. They could be in the Big East. They could have a title, a conference title game. They've chosen otherwise because they get billions and billions of dollars from NBC, who owns their rights to their games. But it was really interesting to me, the uproar of boo-hoo Notre Dame. I mean, but come
on. Let's be real, though. This system is flawed.
Very much so, yes.
So I think it's not just the boo-hoo. It's the look at this thing. This is not right.
Right.
You know, instead of taking James Madison.
James Madison is a division, is a subdivision. They're the best team.
No, they're not.
They're an FCS team. No, they're in one of the conferences
Whatever.
Yeah, the Power 5 or something. Yeah.
The question that I've been hearing that I did watch a little bit since I was just laying there watching stuff
sure.
was, is it the best 12 teams or just the conference champions and da-da-da-da-da?
Yeah.
You know? They want, everybody's like, do the best 12 teams. Best.
Yeah.
To give your best pro. Because Tulane, no, you're nothing to disrespect them. They ain't winning.
No, they're not going to be. They're going to get blown off the field by Ole Miss
so
or
James
whoever.
Madison.
You would think so. Although, I mean, once every couple of years, a team like Boise State can make these upsets happen. But generally, at this point in the year, when the big boys have a month to prepare, get healthy, the only thing they don't have is this transfer portal screws up the NCAA because your roster
or your coach
could be picked off your team between now and January 2nd when these games actually take place. So it's an odd thing with college sports in general, but it really comes to a head in college football.
But it's still a flawed system, not only the transfer portal. I mean, not only are the players that we said, the coaches, but the fact that they can take off.
Yes, right now.
Like, what, you know, fix that. Wait for everything to shoot it back a little bit. I mean, you're like, Ole Miss, they're in.
It's an odd Pandora's box when so many millions and billions of dollars, and like, and it's an odd thing that college football is worth $6 billion, let's just say. They don't have a CEO of this large corporation that stretches out multi from countries from coast to coast 7 days a week, 365 days a year, networks and bowl games, it's and recruiting and NIL stuff. And there's nobody in charge. It's a bunch of commissioners and a bunch of guys who are professional pencil pushers or something. I don't know what they do, but they're not college. They're not. There's no commissioner of college sports, which is wild to me.
Yeah,
it's a billions and billions of dollars with so many moving parts, and nobody's in charge.
At some point, you've got to put a cap. You got to have somebody in saying this is it.
But again, if there's nobody in charge to actually say we're all going to get in a room and fix this today, it's not going to get fixed because all of these commissioners and all these they work for a school. They work for a conference. Their teams are needing millions and billions of dollars. Yeah. So it's an odd system. It really takes the shine off of what used to be college bowl season.
Four teams.
Yes.
That was it.
I'll take four. I remember when they went to two. I remember when they would do number one and number two.
They're talking 16 next year.
And it makes me so uninterested.
Yeah.
Because now you're stretching out. That's an extra 3 weeks where there's still recruiting. There's still NILs and transfer portals and coaches being fired and hired. And I'm also supposed to watch the NFL playoffs. And I'm also supposed to pay attention to college. I like sports. I don't love that much. I don't have that much commitment to sports.
Right.
And it shows that I can't tell you who the Heisman, like the guy from Indiana might win the Heisman, but I haven't been able to invest in this season of college football because not only is my team bad, but there's so much change in college sports.
Every year.
How much time we got?
You've got 4 minutes.
Wow. Okay. What else can we talk about? We had we had some more NCAA gambling problems.
Of course we did.
Surprise, surprise. This one's a new twist. There was a gentleman, Marcus Williams, from the University of San Francisco, the Dons. He got busted for gambling. He was found to be using some kind of sports gambling app to have his associates and people around there take his over. What they have is daily fantasy where you can say player X is going to score over or under 9 points.
Sure.
He's going to have over or under 2 assists. And you can, and most of the time, this betting is micro betting. You and I would bet $5, $10, you know, whatever. We might lose $5 or $10. This gentleman had set up with one of his AAU teammates, and he went to Fresno State University. Another gentleman who, surprise, surprise, got in trouble for gambling in a network of people. So this Marcus Williams was telling the guy from Fresno State, hey, take the over on my points, rebounds. I'm going to play a lot this game. And they made this
He's a player.
He's a player on the team. Telling another player on a different team to take the over and to tell his buddies. So this other player's buddies were placing bets for this third person, and they were all splitting the loot. It's really time that gambling goes, this daily betting where you can take how fast a pitcher pitches, parlays of, is this next, is he going to be a dunk or a three-pointer? Is this going to be a block or an assist? Has corroded my trust in sports.
Sure.
I don't trust what I'm seeing is legit.
Whether it's players, coaches, or referees.
All of it feels sketch at this
point. Especially referees.
And there was that Tim Donaghy that happened in pro basketball 15 years ago who said out loud, the NBA told us to fix this for gamblers. And nobody believed him. We all called him a liar. Well, it turns out he was right. Pro sports is pretty corrupt in its gambling stuff.
There's a federal thing going on right now with some of the NBA guys.
Federal because they were doing the same thing. There was a coach, Chauncey Billups, accused of giving insider information to gamblers. Me too. He played for Minnesota.
Yeah, for a little bit.
I like Chauncey. He was a champion for the Pistons. He seemed like a good guy. Man, gambling has really made it hard for the casual fan to really believe what they are seeing. It's blurring these odd lines.
Yeah, but then they're making it, I mean, well, except for ESPN, because they just shut down their ESPN bed.
It was strange to me that during the entire, ESPN is on 24 hours a day. They have a thing for gambling right there on the bottom. Yeah. You can, every time you listen to ESPN radio, they end it with some sort of feature talking about the ESPN bet mechanism.
But it's gone away.
Thankfully.
So now they're back in bed with DraftKings.
I need it to go away. I want to trust
money.
Sports again, right?
It's like, money. It'll never go away. It's money.
You know, it makes it hard for somebody like me and you who just like to talk about sports and have a good time watching and listening on the radio. It makes it hard to take it any more serious. If you're a casual fan trying to get somebody to be introduced to basketball or football,
I mean, I don't know.
And you got to slog your way through, well, some of them are gamblers and some of this might not be believable. You might as well just watch pro wrestling. I would, at a certain point, I would rather talk about...
You gamble on pro wrestling.
I know you can.
It's legal.
That same ESPN bet will let me bet on WrestleMania. DraftKings, I can bet on WrestleMania.
ESPN bet shut down.
Which tells you a funny thing that you can bet on, they're all as real as pro wrestling to me. That's very interesting. Yeah. Man, this was really fun.
You got 30 seconds.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, we did really, really well. Let's not end there.
How about you can end there?
There it is. Give me that.
No, I guess there you go. It's, season of giving.
It's the season of giving. It started November 24th, runs through the end of the year. Donate to win prizes. Donate any amount to win. There's cash. There's Nordic Creamery gift boxes. Man, they got some good cheese, and they got great butter. Wonder State Coffee, wearables from here. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. Bye.